Hello, and welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. Encounter is a co-production of EWTN Radio, St. Gabriel Radio, and aired across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. My name is Patrick Rice. I'm joined in studio with my good friend, co-host, and brother in Christ, Dan Demite.
What's up, Patrick?
Dan, I'm really excited, as always, but especially, we have an interesting show. Oh. Now, listeners, you know that Encounter Radio is a radio show. We bring you these awesome testimonies, but very, very rarely do we talk about the personal ministries that we run. Dan with Catholic Youth Summer Camp, and myself with Encounter Ministries. And today we have one of our staff members from Encounter Ministries that is going to be sharing their testimony.
Oh, great.
And also give you guys an opportunity to see a little bit more like what Encounter Ministries does through the testimony of Chris Finneman. So before we go into that, Dan, can you lead us in prayer?
Yes, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, we pray that you would do something new in our listeners' life. We just proclaim new life over our listeners in the next hour. God, I pray for transformation of the mind and the heart, transformation of the lifestyle. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray that your goodness would fall on all of our listeners' ears in this next hour. Lord, come, Holy Spirit, just renew the hearts of your faithful.
And Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that the witness to Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. And Lord, I just declare that you died on the cross, not just to forgive us of our sins, but you died on the cross that we could have the same kind of intimate relationship with the Father that you enjoyed. So Lord, I pray that there be renewal of our minds, that there's so much more that you died for and that we can have access to. And Lord, I pray that as we listen to the intimacy that Chris just has with you, Father, that that would be something that we hunger and thirst to cultivate in our relationship with you. Because we pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Wow.
Hey, you feeling good today, Patrick?
I'm feeling great.
Me too.
I'm feeling so good. I'm feeling good because the Father actually is pleased. He has pleasure in me. He delights in me. And I have a scripture verse I want to share to kind of get us ready for Chris's testimony. This is from Luke. This is Luke 12:32. He says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom." Other translations say, "Don't be afraid, little flock. It's your Father's. It's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Wow! Like, what does that mean? I think it's that concept of inheritance. He wants to give us the kingdom. Okay, he's the king. He has the kingdom. He wants to give it to us. We're heirs of a kingdom, and he delights to give it to us, his children. And I think that there has to come a time in every person's life, every disciple's life, where there's a shift in how we see the Father from someone that we're supposed to work for to someone that we're supposed to work from that place of love and intimacy. And Chris's testimony that we're going to be hearing is a lifestyle of seeking after the Father's heart. And it's not just one that like he casually did like, oh, that's a good idea. It's like you're going to hear the story of a man that unless he did this, he's going to die. Like, I don't know any other way to put it. It's very dramatic, but he's being pulled in such a direction that only the Father can bring him salvation. Mm. Only the Father can bring him freedom from the things that is being put thrown into his life. And that from that place of salvation and freedom, you're going to see a lifestyle of encounter, a lifestyle of bringing that to other people. And so I think ultimately, in terms of what we're doing with Encounter Ministries is that a lifestyle of intimacy with the Father from which fruitful ministry can flow. And I love the supernatural. I love it. We talk about healing a lot, and we're going to pray for healing at the end of the show because Jesus himself actually links the doctrine of forgiveness of sins to supernatural healing. And what do I mean by that, Dan? I'm talking about the paralytic in Mark 2. The brothers lower the paralytic down and Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." And they start, all the Pharisees, I love, if there are Pharisees on the show, come on, like this is huge. He says, they start gawking and they're like, "How can this man forgive sins?" And he said, "So that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, I say to you, rise and walk."
Yep.
And so any confusion or doubt of Jesus' ability to forgive sins, he says, "Let me prove it to you by supernatural healing." So it's almost like, how do we know that Jesus can forgive sins because he healed the sick? And I think it's the same question today. How is modern man going to know that Jesus can forgive sins, which is the central doctrine of Christianity? True or false?
True.
True. Good answer. Okay. Jesus died for your sins. How do I know? He heals the sick. He did it 2,000 years ago, and he's going to do it today.
Yeah.
And if we're not about that, we're not going to be about evangelization, right?
Yeah, we want to minister like Jesus did. And I love that you're saying, are we ministering for the Father or from the Father? And just look at the lifestyle of Jesus. Was he ministering for the Father or from? And you just see this radical intimacy that Jesus has with the Father, so much so that he calls him Abba, right? Abba, that there's this language of love and this intimacy that is what fuels his own ministry here on earth. And that's what we're going to see and witness. I love, we're going to hear in Chris's story, just this idea of the Father not giving us, not finding our identity from the world, but finding our identity from the Father, right? And I mean, you see this from the very start, where you've got a man like Abram who...
Abram.
Yeah, and God comes to him and he says, no longer will you be called Abram, but now you'll be Abraham.
Ham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting, because there's a man who the world would say, you are barren, you are fatherless, you've borne no fruit, and you are Abram. But now God says, no, you will be the father of many nations. You will bear great fruit. More countless than the stars of the sky will be your descendants, and you will be called Abraham. You see how God the Father completely changes Abraham's view of himself and the way he's called to interact with the world. And that's what the Father wants to do for us, right? If Abraham would have found his identity from the world, he would have viewed himself as a fruitless man for his whole life, right? And how could we fall into that ourselves unless we find our identity from the Father, where the Father says, no, I have a different call for you, a different life for you, a different name for you.
It's like Abraham knew he was called to be a father. He was made for that. And the only way he could become what he was made to be was to first become a son.
Exactly.
And I think that's what needs to happen. We need to become children. We need to become utterly reliant upon our Father. We need to be sons so that we can become the mothers and fathers that he has called us to be.
That's a good word.
This generation.
Hey,
that is a good word.
That's a good word.
Thank you,
Holy
Spirit.
We need to become sons and daughters. And you know, I want for the next, I don't know, half hour or so for us to block out whatever's out in the world. Because it's just natural. We try to get our identity from the world. We get business cards. We put down our title. You know, we go on to LinkedIn. And we're just always branding ourselves from the world's perspective, right? For the next half hour, we just want us to receive an identity from the Father and let him give his name to you, as opposed to allowing the world to give a name to you.
And testimony is so powerful. I mean, Revelation 19:10, the witness to Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And so when someone shares a witness of what he's already done, then there's a prophetic power that he can do it again in your life. We've talked about that principle a lot on this show, but I want to say, if you're desiring greater intimacy with the Father, to bring you the transformation, the freedom that you're desiring in life, if you want more from him, stay tuned and listen to this next segment. It's going to be powerful, because he's going to do it again. I just know that.
Can I give a homework assignment? Is that allowed on radio?
I don't know. Is this a school? has it been approved?
I want our listeners today, I want you to write down on the top of a piece of paper, just, who am I, Father? Who am I, Father? And just over the course of this week, take that question to prayer and write down whatever the Lord reveals to you, just so that the Lord is shaping your identity of who you are, and you're hearing and listening to his voice and writing down a new identity, or if you will, discovering your real identity week.
So good. So that's the big thing. And another thing that we're going to be hearing from is that, like, we have the fullness of the kingdom. Like, he wants to give us the kingdom. And what does that mean? Like, what do I have access to? I feel like in my life, and like coming to understand who I am as a son, it's like, you have access to the entire kingdom, but how much do you actually like know of the kingdom? It's kind of like if you were to be given this entire estate, like my wife loves these British dramas where like they own miles and miles of land, right? And you were to be given this entire estate, but you haven't explored it all.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what you have available until you actually go out and explore it. And I'm going to suggest to you that when Jesus said things like, if you believe in me, you will do the works that I do and greater works. I'm going to suggest to you that's actually part of your inheritance as a son, to have access to supernatural power to do the ministry of Jesus.
Well, what is the kingdom? It's heaven.
Heaven.
Right? And so, so when he says,
wait,
the Father's,
is it food and drink? No,
no.
It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Yes. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you heaven and to see heaven here on earth, right?
Like, as it is,
Is it, right? We hear in the Our Father. And so yeah, I love that idea that we would see more of the kingdom and discover new things. And so even if we're like, oh, wow, I've been an on fire Catholic for a number of years, and I've been living my faith passionately, and I've been discovering and learning so much. The Father has more.
He has more.
He always has more. Amen.
And so Chris is like this. He's going to be discovering his identity, and then from that his inheritance. Because once we know who we are, once we know whose we are, we know like what we have to work with, our actual inheritance, and that's to do the works of Jesus, to do the ministry of Jesus, and to spread the kingdom, because we actually have access and a share of participation in that. So I'm really looking forward to this. That's really good.
All right, well, let's take a break.
Yeah, we do have to go to break. I'm sorry.
You're listening to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people and launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. We're going to be right back to hear this great life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ.
Wherever you are, find Encounter with Dan Demite and Patrick Rice on EWTN Radio, the EWTN app, Amazon Echo, Facebook, SoundCloud, podcast, and follow them on Twitter at Encounter EWTN.
Teresa Tamio.
Every time I go to Mass and see my husband serving on the altar as a deacon, it hits me how, with God, all things are possible. I mean, there is no way that we should be still married, number one, based on all the problems we had. But number two, the fact that I'm in Catholic media and my husband is a deacon is simply a testimony to the power of God and the teachings of the church that saved our marriage and, more importantly, our souls.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio. Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Father Larry Richards.
God is the God of life. God is the God of love. So when we conform our life to His life and His will, it's always life-giving. Always.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. And we have on the show with us Encounter Ministry staff intern Chris Finneman. Welcome to the show,
Chris!
Brother.
Hey, thanks,
good
guys.
To have you. Like I said, listeners, so often, like Dan and I, we run ministries, and the ministry that I'm part of is Encounter Ministries. And Chris, you are on staff with us. So I'm really excited that you get to share your testimony, because I spent a lot of time with this guy, and I'm really excited that he has a chance to share with you what God's done in his life and to give you a snapshot of what happens with this ministry. So, Chris, tell our listeners about your life, like growing up. What was your faith life like and your family? Go for it, man.
Wow. Okay. So I grew up in Fargo, North Dakota, and I would say that I was raised by a pretty average Midwest Catholic family. We loved the Lord, but it wouldn't be, I guess, a topic of discussion during dinner. We would pray before bed and pray before meals. But I was raised by a single mother whom I love a lot. We were very, very close and still are very close. There was lots of struggles growing up, I guess, with just family ties and things like that. But I think one of the things that I remember the most being formative when I was a kid was my mom's health issues. She got really, really sick in about 2004, and she needed a heart and double lung transplant.
A heart and double lung transplant at once?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So she had heart problems growing up, and then as those kind of got worse, it affected her lungs because, you know, just naturally. And that's important to my story, because that's what I remember being the origins of my prayers to God. That kind of a situation when you're 9 or 10 years old really forces you to start to ask bigger questions about life and who God is and who you are and how everything works. So I just started to be really raw and real with God. Yeah. So, other than that, like, moving forward from that, she got her heart and double lung transplant, and she's very healthy, and, she's actually, she buzzes like a bee. She's a lot like me, actually, if you'll meet her ever. But she's lives in North Dakota right now. The next part of my testimony that, like, really, I guess is a part of who I became is, just in seventh grade is when I realized, like, the impact of not having a father, and just realized that that wasn't, good. 'Cause up until that point, I had realized that it never occurred to me, like, that was, I guess, bad. I knew that it wasn't normal, but it was my normal, and I didn't know anything different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, in seventh grade, I was like, wow, you know, I'm starting to ask bigger questions about what it is to be a man, and, like, what manhood is, and who I'm called to be. And, I remember making this really raw prayer. I went to a private Catholic middle school and high school, and I would always find myself in the chapel right before school started for about, like, 30 minutes. And I remember praying this prayer, and the prayer was, God, this is my seventh grade Chris Finneman prayer. You can't take me fishing, and you can't, like, take me to, like, play baseball or, like, all the normal things that I think fatherhood is about. But I need you to, quote, do your best to be my dad, like a physical father here on earth. And that was just, like, my prayer. And then I let it go from there. And, I'll never forget that day. I was just looking up at the crucifix. That was the year that I started to talk real and honestly with God about my attractions to the same sex, too. Just realizing that was, I don't know if I, like, directly related it to, like, the absence of a father, but I knew that there was something there. You know what I mean? Yeah, it was a very powerful year for me. One thing that I look back on just as, like, a beautiful grace, and this was just recent, actually, that I was just in time with God and really just... He gave me the revelation about this grace that he gave me of faith when I was in seventh grade. Because my experiences with same-sex attraction never directly contradicted who I believed God to be. I always knew that he was good. I didn't, I guess it didn't, how do I want to say this? He was good, and I knew that was always true, but that didn't ever, like, diminish the reality of the struggles that I was going through. It was both beautifully balanced, you know what I mean? And so that's a beautiful grace, because I know that for so many people that's...
So you acknowledge that, like, that same-sex attraction was not good, like, this is something you're struggling with, right? And so you're like, but you never put that on God.
Yeah, okay. No, it was like, you are still who you say you are.
That's such an amazing grace.
Yeah, I never realized that until recently, you know? I'm really grateful for it. So I just, my mindset was, well, this is a reality. And I was very well catechized, very, very well catechized. So I was like, this cannot change, I guess, how I live my life as a Catholic. Like, I have to persevere in grace and in virtue. So yeah. dialoguing with God about that a lot.
That's amazing just that you were in the chapel a half hour before school, like in middle school and high school. That's just like crazy.
I was very like, I went on the secular retreat, and the whole like outcome of the retreat was, you know, you can make an impact on the world with every word and action that you have, either positive or negative. And I was like, oh my gosh, I want to be a world changer. So I started doing little things all the time, just like picking up trash and calling everyone by name at the school.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So my seventh grade religion teacher said, you know, like we help souls get out of purgatory and go to heaven by, you know, praying rosaries for them. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can impact someone's soul. Yeah. So I started praying every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, a rosary. And I was like, well, I don't know any souls in purgatory, so this is just for a random soul.
Wow, that's wild.
Oh yeah.
What a powerful heart.
Earned some cool names for being in the chapel all the time, like chapel kid and preacher and all that stuff.
Nice. But,
yeah. Yeah, I was very unique.
Yeah. So what shifted? I mean, what did you have, like, how was your understanding of God in your life? I mean, you know, I know he was good, but did you feel like you had to earn approval from God?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So as much as all that was really beautiful, and there's really beautiful graces and revelations, my faith was still very regimented and very, ritualistic. it was, there was so much striving just for like identity and approval and all of that. And I think it all it really hit me kind of like a brick wall towards the end of my eighth grade year when some of my friends, we were just hanging out at someone's house and they were like, hey, Chris, you're kind of like the Pharisees.
Oh, they you said got
that.
Called
they used that exact word.
Wow.
And I didn't really know how to respond. Mm-hmm. So
Thank you.
So I took a step back. For the next like year and a half or 2 years.
Did they mean that as a compliment though?
No.
Yeah.
No, they knew exactly
like
what they were saying.
That's like a spiritual F word, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Pharisees.
Yeah. PDH word.
They knew exactly what they were saying, and I just had to hear that exact word. I don't think anybody else could have said anything except for my friends, and they knew exactly what to say.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I took kind of 2 years and like reanalyze like what it is to have like healthy friendships in the faith and like how to interact with people. That's when I started to understand the reality of like, you can't love God and hate people. Mm. You can't love God and have a really bad relationship with other people in your life,
mm-hmm.
you know, by your own doing. Like, you can't have a hard heart like towards other people and then like try to follow all these rules and love God at the same time.
So, I mean, how did you break out of that? Like, what was the first thing that happened that you would say that significantly impacted you?
Well, I started like praying for my friends. I started praying for my friends and not, I was still praying for souls in purgatory and doing like my holy hours or
devotions,
whatever you want, my devotionals.
Yeah.
But, I think the actual like shift, like the big shift moment was at this music camp at St. Catherine's University in Minnesota. I went to this music ministry camp for 3 years and it was like lots of emphasis obviously on like music ministry and like how you get involved with music and the liturgy at your church. But there was very, very important moments of like inner healing or it was like learning how to just like love. There's lots of it was at the core of the human person. Like you can sing, you can go up there and sing your psalms and like lead the congregation and in music and the liturgy, but if you don't have a heart for God's people and learn how to love yourself and love God's people, then it's all kind of for naught.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a huge shift. That's when I started to learn how to love myself, you know, and learn to love other people. The big transformation of love, I think, during those 3 summers.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love what you said, that you can't love God and hate people. Mm-hmm. The two just don't go hand in hand. And God has to bring you healing, if you will, in order to truly love his people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's powerful.
So Chris, is there a time, like when did you become like an intentional disciple? Like when did you make
disciple.
Like a commitment to follow God?
Okay. So my junior year, up until this point, you know, I've obviously had lots of really big encounters with God and like all this graces and revelation. And my friend Natalie invited me to this retreat. And I was like, I'm a good Christian. I'm a good Catholic. Why would I go on this retreat? I don't need to. And she's just like, just come. It'll be fun. And I was like, all right. So I go and I was extremely uncomfortable the entire time. And I didn't understand why until someone basically pulled me aside and let me know, like, Chris, you're out of your comfort zone. That's what this is. That's what this is called, a comfort zone, and you're out of it. Anyways, it all culminated to one night in the chapel. And I was just kind of proposed with all of this information that was given to me at this retreat. And it was all just saying yes to God and handing over. It was surrender. It was a moment of surrender. That's what it all built up to. And so I found myself once again, just like in seventh grade, really speaking raw with God. Just being like, you know, I don't feel like I can perceive you in any measurable way. I can't necessarily see your face or hear you the way that I understand right now in my life. But you want me to give my everything to you. How do I know that you are who you say you are? And how do I, like, my futures and my plans? Like, it's terrifying. That's terrifying. But I was like, you know what, God, this is the actual thought process. I said, God, I would rather live my life having you take care of everything and you being in control and living for you completely and seeming like a fool to everyone than living my life, being in control, and then at the end of my life, finding out that you actually are real and you are who you say you are and that you really were that good. So I was just like, well, God, I give you everything. I give you everything. I give you my dreams, my hopes, my plans, my everything. And that's when I would say that I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I started having like dreams and visions, and God, I heard God's voice, and for the first time in my life, said like, I want you to give me your heart. And I was like, okay, God, I give you my heart. This is really funny. So he goes, okay, I want you to actually like, I want you to lift your hands up. And I was like, but there's other people in the
but
chapel.
But my comfort zone.
There's other people in the chapel. What if they
not
see
the
me?
Hands.
That's not Catholic. What? And so he was like, but I want you to give me your heart. And uh-huh. I was like, okay, God. So I like started to slowly move my hands up. It took me an hour to move my hands from my chest to full extension up in the air.
If I was so, there, you would have done it in 5 seconds.
You would have just forced it.
Yeah, I would have forced
it. Oh, man. I was like, this is so uncomfortable. You could see the tension on the inside
yes.
of my soul.
You know, I think it's so amazing, though, because the body expresses what the heart expresses often, you know? And so, like, when we close our bodies off, we're accidentally almost closing our heart off. And so, while that's funny, it's actually, it's so real at
yeah,
the same time
yeah.
that when we open our bodies and we're no longer afraid to express what our heart is communicating through our bodies, God does something.
Mm-hmm.
He does.
That's real. I believe that. And
I think God's actually right now kind of in the midst of restoring us to like a more fuller sense of worship.
Yeah.
Like when I read Psalms, there's all of these depictions of the people of God, like being instructed to shout their hand, to shout before the Lord, to clap their hands,
yeah.
to dance before the
yeah.
Lord, because this is good and pleasing. It ministers to Him. And for so long, we've been in this, like, I don't know if you call it a rut or whatever it is, where we're just going through the motions like that. But I feel like as God's called us into the new evangelization, right? And now
yeah.
we're learning, we've talked about that. There needs to be a new Pentecost to fuel that new evangelization. I think part of that new Pentecost is like learning how to be free and childlike in our worship again.
Well, and this is actually very Catholic. I mean, because we make all these Catholic jokes all the time about like Catholic aerobics, you know, like stand up, sit
yeah.
down, kneel, stand up, sit down. The reason we're standing up, sitting down, or kneeling is always intentional in the liturgy. And so we're trying to communicate with our bodies what our soul is supposed to be communicating or is invited to communicate to God. And so, So we just want to open that to more communication with our bodies, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. More of a freedom and all of that.
Yeah.
That's really
so,
good.
So Chris, that's really
yeah,
good.
Yeah. Sorry. This story's incredible. Thanks
yeah.
for sharing.
Okay. So then you had this encounter. I know that you went to University of Mary
mm-hmm.
after high school.
Yep.
And that you went into seminary. Like what led you to seminary? You went to Sacred Heart Major Seminary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was that process like?
So in my mind, and I think this was kind of like a seed from seventh grade. It was like, well, the best way to become a saint is to become a priest. That's like the thought of me as a seventh grade boy, Catholic young boy.
Yep.
And so I think a little bit of that was still in my mind. So I graduate high school and, but I was in this kind of, non-committal kind of state where I was like, I love God and I love the church and I love his people, but being a priest is a little bit too much commitment. So I'll just be a missionary. Everyone loves missionaries, right? So I go and I try to study most like godly things that I liked. So I went and studied sacred music, Catholic studies, those things, pastoral ministry. And it took some years after that freshman year just to do ministry. To go out into the world and actually do it. Because I think I heard someone say, and it's really famous theologian, I forget his name, but he said, there's a difference between studying the moon, looking at it, and actually being on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who that is? I forget.
Mm-mm.
But, and that just really struck me. And I was like, you know, I'm really tired about reading about the new evangelization, so I'm just going to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. It's so, so good to study. But I was very not having it. Anyways, so after a few years of ministry, I said, well, I think I should just go give it a try. Like, why not? I'll go give seminary a try. So I applied and I went with the Diocese of Fargo, and I loved seminary. It was a really powerful experience. It was really, really good discernment. It was actually really
And
boring.
Who was your spiritual director?
Who was my spiritual director? A man by the name of Matthias.
Father
Matthias
Balin. He's the senior leader of Encounter Ministries.
Yes, he is.
And that's how we got connected.
Yep. He lived the floor above me, and I made frequent trips up there. Yep.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. So, yeah, we have a great relationship. He's such a good father and a great friend of mine. Really, really, really important to just my formation last year at Sacred Heart Seminary, and lots of the other guys, too. So although I loved it, God made really clear like the desires of my heart and the dreams that I had for my life. And it's actually funny. I can't to this day tell you which one it was. I think it was both. It was in my interior life. It was God's voice, but also I think Father Matthias might have said this to me, that Chris, you don't need to wear a Roman collar to bring revival.
Wow.
Wow.
And I was like, really? Like, it's just, and it seems so simple, right? Like, it seems like something that you would just think, but that just opened up this cage that was in my mind. And it just totally brought me lots of freedom. And so at the end of the year, I was like, all right, God, like, what do you want to do? And I just had no idea. I was living and working and back in North Dakota. And then, yeah, now I'm here.
So how did you get here? What's the story? Do you want to share our listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually, there's a backstory to it. I was praying with someone earlier this past summer, and I received a word from the Lord, and they said, you know, I just feel like July 14th is going to be a really big day for you. You know, I received that for what it was. I have a devotion to St. Kateri Tekakwitha, and that's her feast day. And so I was like, oh, well, you know, that's great. You know, St. Kateri's with me. Anyways, moving forward towards kind of that date, July 14th, I've been kind of dialoguing with some people in California, and also I called you, Patrick, and like just kind of was talking about my different options and stuff like that. And I think the finalization of just kind of like what was going to happen was actually on July 14th, and like that whole story is really cool. I remember talking with Patrick on that day, just in our friendship, just kind of being like, where does God want to bring me? And you just invited me to move out here and to start working for this ministry. Mm. And I think the words you actually used were, I think you're going to find your tribe down here.
Yep.
And I don't know if that's like usual to your language, but that meant a lot to me because of St. Kateri, you know, like a lot of her story is finding her tribe in Canada. It's really cool because the story is finding where you belong. Mm-hmm. And so it hit me later that night. I looked at a calendar and it said July 14th in St. Kateri. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm going to find my tribe. I'm moving to Columbus. So I just wanted to bring revival. I just wanted to tangibly be in the trenches of what we call the new springtime of the church, mm-hmm. and just do it.
So can you tell our listeners some stories? So Chris has been working with Encounter Ministries. We do School of Ministry. We have conferences that we do all over the country, and now even international stuff too as well. So Chris, what are some stories that you can give our listeners a snapshot of what your life is like with what we do?
All right. So I believe it was exactly 24 hours after I moved here. I was like, all right, I'm an intern for Encounter Ministries. Here we go. And I was just walking
around. Dot, dot.
It's just like learning what internship with Encounter was day by day. And I remember walking down the street and I saw this man sitting, and he had a cardboard sign, you know, and he was just looking for help and some money. And I remember like seeing him and like being convicted in my heart, and then walking like a yard past him and then stopping in my tracks and be like, Chris, why did you move here? Like, you moved here for one reason. You moved here to just step in to just like radical ministry for God. And so I was like, all right, well, here we go. So I turned around and introduced myself. And so just my story with that is, I just became like really good friends with this guy. I just sat down and talked with him. It wasn't like I was trying to see him as like a project, mm-hmm. or go and like love with some kind of agenda,
yep.
you know, get him registered at a parish or something. But I just wanted to like see him as a person. And we just had a conversation for about an hour, and I just ministered to him. And prayed with him, and I ended up giving him, I had a tent in my trunk and like a pillow just so he could like sleep somewhere. And the reason I'm bringing that up with internship is just because it's being the hands and feet of Jesus. It's like ministering from the Father's heart, you know. It's sometimes it looks supernatural and sometimes it looks very ordinary. Mm-hmm. So I love that story. And to this day, like sometimes I'll see this man and we're still really good friends and we talk, and I've got to minister to him numerous times. So it's just kind of a testament of relational ministry here with Encounter.
I'm into that.
Yeah. And that kind of transitions into my next story, actually. We went to Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas. And I wanted to tell this story just because it really made a mark on me.
What do we do there? Can you give the context?
Yeah, okay. So we went to Benedictine College to put on a healing school. And so like all Saturday, we had lots of different talks and activations and activities basically to teach. I think it was about 125 students just to kind of step into healing ministry. It was really, really great. And so that's one of the things we do here at Encounter. Is go to different places and just kind of train up the people locally so they can start to walk in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. This was incredibly amazing. At the end of the day, you know, we had all of our talks and then we had a healing, we had a mass and then a time of adoration and worship and then a healing service. And this father brought his child up. This was very, very beautiful. And this child had just a laundry list of things wrong and like a underdeveloped brain. And, the doctors didn't give her very much, time to live. Mm. And, Patrick, you invited all the students and it was almost a packed church. I invited all the students to come up and pray for this child's healing. I don't remember. She was so, so little, mm-hmm. like you could hold her just with barely any effort. And there was just a crowd of students, of college students, on the verge of tears and also crying, just praying over not only this father, but this baby and their whole situation and their circumstance. And it was just a huge testimony of ministering from the Father's heart that sometimes it is this radical boldness and this passion and this zeal. And it's all of that, but ministering from the Father's heart is so incredible. And it was just such a beautiful moment for this whole group of people to kind of have broken hearts, like the father has a broken heart mm-hmm. for this father and for their child. And that changed me, to learn, to love God's people the way that he loves them and have a heart for them like he does. And so that was just an incredible experience. But the next story, I guess I have is one of those like, whoa, crazy Holy Spirit, supernatural kind of moments. So me and another fellow intern were just praying for words as we're going out to do ministry. Like, God, who do you want to send us to? Give us images, give us words.
Can you explain that to our listeners who don't know what this is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So before we go out and do ministry, it's so important to listen. And
actually, let me cut in a little bit. We do a lot of administration. We do a lot of conferences. But what we want to do is impact our city. And so we'll send teams out to do like prophetic evangelization and just love on the people in our city. So Chris is talking about that element right there. So you're praying for words. That means like, what does that mean?
We're praying for God to basically lead us in our ministry. Give us some direction. Give us either like an image of someone's face or their name or any scripture or any way that he wants to direct our ministry as we go out. And so we're just praying ahead of time and she receives this image of kind of like a middle-aged woman, with like short bobbed hair. And she said that she could see this lady pretty detailed. But that was about it. And so we went around and did ministry that day, but we never ended up finding, this person that my fellow intern saw in her prayer. So we ended up ministering to people on this beautiful day. But then we kind of parted ways and we're going back to our houses. And I get a text later from her that said, "You'll never believe what happened." I stopped at the gas station and a little thing that's important to the story is that about 24 to 48 hours before this, she had lost her wallet. And so she gets to this gas station and she's going in. And she sees this lady working at the front counter, and it's exactly that lady that she saw in her prayer. And so she was ecstatic. She was like, "Oh my goodness, this is perfect." And she's talking to this lady, and this lady has like really bad kidney pain. And so she's praying with her, and the kidney pain leaves. This gas station clerk is in tears as she's at her job, and she's just getting really hit by God. She's having an encounter with God in that moment, and then she looks to the right, my fellow intern looks to the right, and sees her wallet to the right of this lady. She said, "I found this wallet on the ground earlier today," and then Hannah opens it up, and it's her ID, it's like everything.
And that's wild.
And it's just, it was amazing. She was texting us and calling us, she was freaking out, like, "This is amazing, like, this is what I moved here for," like, it was great. So that's just kind of like a little snippet into our daily life.
That's so good. I love it. So we're going out. We're blessing our city. We're doing conferences. And we want to equip Catholics to walk in the power and love of the Holy Spirit in your daily life. And this can be a reality. But Christopher, one thing we don't have a whole lot of time left, but you talked about how you did deal with, homosexual attraction.
Mm-hmm.
How's that struggle? That's something that God's come in and helped transform.
Yeah. So in the past years, like God has just kind of rewritten me, and I've been able to experience this, sometimes what feels like kind of like a slow and agonizing process, but also very quick, at the same time. And so he's been teaching me a lot. I think what the first kind of breakthrough that started was when I went to University of Mary. It was the first time in my life that I was surrounded with brothers that really just kind of helped me step into what holy masculinity is and what Catholic manhood is, and taught me like really basic things like what is holy hour, what is devotion to Our Lady. That's when that started too. And just kind of basically did life with me,
mm-hmm.
you know? So just being formed as a man, that's when that really, really started. And also that's when I started to let the Father minister to the place that I kind of been hiding regarding homosexuality, but also regarding the absence of a father, going into those deep places in my heart and letting him be a father in that way.
So the Father helped bring healing to this wound.
Absolutely.
Where that conflict and that struggle has kind of originated.
Right.
So there's nothing he can't do.
Nothing.
Is there?
Yeah.
he's so good. He's not
a
like
good dad.
I have a tough time. We've got to cover this topic now a few times, but what would you add to that?
No, I just want to, I love the phrase that you said, that the Father has rewritten you. Can you just proclaim, because you know who you are, right? Mm-hmm. And could you proclaim kind of the identity that the Father has spoken to you in your life?
Yeah, that my manhood and my identity, my sonship, comes directly from him every single day and from no one else. And from that, there's no room for striving. There's no room for trying to prove my manhood, trying to prove my identity to anyone else. And so that's basically just what it's been. And if I could wrap it up in one thing, it would just be the Father's delight. That's what I would like proclaim, is that what changed me and rewritten me and renewed my mind is the Father's delight. Just the smile and the approval that comes from him.
It's so good. So it's like, same-sex attraction is like a struggle in the heart. And I feel like, how often do you hear talks about allowing the Father, the author of our hearts, to actually rewrite our hearts? I mean, this is something that I think we need to pray into, maybe in a deeper way. And I think we should just do it right now.
So, let's do it.
Chris, can you lead our prayer over our listeners right now?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Father God, you are so good. I thank you. I thank you so much for all of the hearts that are listening. I thank you for how good you are. I thank you for the way that you've blessed them and written them, God, how intentional you are with every single detail, you know, every fiber of their being, God. I thank you, God, that nothing is a mistake, God. I thank you, God, that you don't regret making anybody. And I just pray, God, that anyone listening that not only just struggles with identity, maybe homosexuality, or earning approval, God, that you just fill up the room that they're in right now, God.
Mm-hmm.
And that they feel your presence on every fiber of their being, God. And feel your delight, God. I want them to feel your delight. Because, God, in your delight, there's no striving. And there's no legalism. There's no trying to earn your love, God. I just pray for breakthrough, God, for anyone struggling with same-sex attraction, God. I pray for revelation of identity. I pray for a new epiphany, God, that they understand Jesus, that they come to meet and encounter Jesus. And I pray, Jesus, I just come against loneliness and isolation and separation.
Mm-hmm. So good. I just come into a complete agreement with all those things. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just feel called to break off the lie that this is a struggle, that you or a loved one, a family member, is going to have to endure and be victim to, because we are not the sum of our feelings.
Yep.
Our feelings do not determine our identity. But God, your heart can transform our hearts and actually give us a new heart. So Lord, I pray that you give new hearts and that there be a breakthrough, Jesus, in those in that struggle of those feelings. So Lord, we just bless everything that you're doing right now in our listeners, of all those people that are being prayed for right now. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
You're listening to Encounter, a co-production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, EWTN Radio, aired on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to hear some more. So stay tuned, and we'll catch you on the flip side.
When you deal with God, get out of the way.
The incomparable Mother Angelica. She broke the mold of Catholic teaching with her one-of-a-kind perspective. From her spunky spiritual growth talks to her eye-opening scripture study, a nun like none other.
I intend to scare the hell out of you.
She was the one, the only, the non-forgettable Mother Angelica. Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and Television.
We need EWTN Radio for the reason that Mother Angelica founded this entire enterprise. She always saw this as a spiritual growth network. It was to be an enterprise in media that reached people in all aspects of their life. She saw this as a holistic approach to reaching the whole person in the middle of the world and bringing them truth and life.
Raymond Arroyo thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people that launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. Dan, that was incredible.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Chris has number one is laughter and his joy just like, I think, just gives joy, right? And I think that's such a beautiful thing. But just the raw understanding and intimacy with the Father is a beautiful thing to witness.
I know, like, I going to the break after we were praying, and I hope everyone's still, like, just shook by that and rocked. It's really that I don't think until I've heard that Chris's story and the way that he did that, I don't ever think I've thought about or even prayed into how allowing the Father's heart into my heart in the Holy Spirit, he can actually rewire. He can actually, his intimacy and his love can actually reshape the things that I have. And I mean, how often are we holding God at bay or we're trying to fix ourselves? What would you have to say about that? Like, what do we need to do as a people?
I think we've lost sight of real Pauline theology and anthropology, right? Like St. Paul, he says, like, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. Mm-hmm. Behold, the old things have passed away and new things have come. And that's like that. And that just is all through the New Testament. This idea that when I am in Christ, I am a new creation. The old has passed away. Jesus says, behold, I make all things new. It's just, it's so beautiful, and it's not poetry. It's real. Like, this is, like, Jesus wants to transform us, rewire us, redefine us, remake us, you know, and give us, or as Chris said, rewrite us, right? That there's a new identity that we find in and through Christ.
Yeah, and we don't have to do, like, when we're in the Father's heart, we don't have to, I don't know, do anything from a place of duty. And like in the sense of like, oh, I have to do this or else dad's going to get mad at me. Like that's so much, I think, the mindset that we can get trapped in our faith, especially if we've been living in our whole life. But what if we went from a place of like, oh my gosh, he's so good. I see from heaven's perspective now, because I'm reclining on his heart. Mm. And I feel like if there's an image for what it means to be tapped into the heart of the Father, it's that image of, I think, John, the beloved disciple, on the bosom of Jesus at the Last Supper. He's hearing his heartbeat. He's leaning back into God. Mm. And then from that place of like leaning back, as Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Like he's in communion with the Father. So I feel like if I were to sum this show up, it's kind of like we have to go from, there's this movement from leaning back into the Father on the bosom of Jesus. And then from that, we get like refreshed. We get greater anointing. We hear his voice. And then he calls us forth. We can't stay there. We're not made to stay on the mountain. We're not made to make tents, right? Mm. Then we have to lean forward. And I love, like Jesus said in Matthew 11, 12, I believe, he said, you know, the kingdom of God is being taken by the violent. The violent are taking it by force.
Yeah.
And so you got to go out. And you're like, the kingdom's mine. I'm bringing it here. I'm claiming. this family. I'm claiming this ministry. I'm claiming this territory, and we're going to go forth. And then you go out and you fight and you take the kingdom and you evangelize, and then you get beaten up, right? So you got to lean back. And so I feel like there's this leaning back and this leaning forward, and it's this rhythm. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. Can I share a story?
No, 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 no story. No, I'm just joking. Of course you can share.
So one time I'm driving and I'm listening to a talk from one of our
pastors. Encounter Radio?
No, I wasn't listening to our own show.
So vain.
But there's just this, you know, this beautiful reality where the speaker is talking about how we don't want to, we just need to have such a deep intimacy with the Father that the world's opinion of us doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. That we've discovered we've discovered the Father's opinion of us so deeply and so richly that that's the only opinion that matters. And as I was reflecting on that, just the whole world disappeared, and it was like the Spirit just poured the Father's love out. And like, I'm driving on the middle of a highway.
So you got baptized in the Holy Spirit.
So like the Holy Spirit's like coming down, and I'm like, oh man, I had to pull over. It's like I pull over, and just like the Holy Spirit comes, and like I'm just like weeping as the Father's love is poured out, right? And I think the Father wants, and this wasn't like I had been following the Lord for years, you know, and like it just, there's always more, right? We said there's always more, and the Lord's always revealing more. And God was just saying, hey, Dan, I want the world to disappear for you. And I just want you to experience the fullness of the kingdom, which is me, right? And I'm just like receiving all of him. And it was just really amazing. And I think that's that leaning in that mm-hmm. allows us to not get burnt out.
So good. Now, we only have a little bit of time left. I know we love to stop and pray. And every once in a while, we get words of knowledge for healing. And if listeners, you don't know what that means, it's simply we're getting a sense the Holy Spirit actually wants to heal particular people with particular conditions. And so during Chris's talk, the Lord actually started showing me people that he was talking about someone getting healed of kidney pain. And I got the sense that he actually wants to heal people with kidney problems right now. And I also got the sense too that there are people with that have been having severe migraines and that you don't know where they came from. And we just want to pray for you right now. So we're going to do that. And then we're going to pray for the Father's love just to fill you guys right now. So if you're dealing with any of those issues or anything related to that, we just want you to receive. You don't have to pray for yourself. And if not, just intercede for anyone that's dealing with that, okay? Mm-hmm. So in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you that it's your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And God, I thank you for healing kidney pain right now. So in the name of Jesus, we bind anyone dealing with kidney pain or any kidney-related issues, kidney failure, kidney stones. Lord, I ask you just to come and let your Holy Spirit minister to those. We just declare healing, freedom over kidney pain right now. And in the name of Jesus, I speak to anyone that's dealing with migraines and any kind of head-related trauma. I say, be healed in the name of Jesus. If there's any evil spirits that are behind those, we bind you and we ask you to go to the foot of the cross in the name of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit asks you to come and to anoint the brain. I ask you to anoint the minds, that the peace of God would surpasses all understanding would guard their hearts and minds in Jesus' name. And we pray for the love of the Father.
Yeah, and Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus for healing to take place on any right ankle that's just wounded right now. Lord, we pray for healing of the bones, the ligaments, the tendons in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just pray that your blessing, the Father's blessing, would fall upon all of our listeners, who fall upon their minds, their hearts, their ankles, Lord, upon their whole being. Without reserve, fill them up, Father, with your blessing and your love. Redefine their existence. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you for joining us on Encounter. Encounter is a co-production of St. Gabriel Radio, EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And if any of our listeners were receiving prayer for any of those words of knowledge that we had, we really encourage you to let us know and to share your testimony, because there's power in testimony. We've already had amazing testimonies of people that have been healed through the prayers on our show, and because there is power in prayer. So I'm praying that there continues to be a flood of evidence of God's miracles continuing to work.
Yeah, we just want to thank you all for listening to Encounter Radio and to share your stories with us and your testimonies with us, or to learn more about our show, you can visit encounterradio.org. That's encounterradio.org. We pray that today God will reveal himself in newer and deeper ways in your life.